I'm already on?
You're on.
Whoa.
Look, I just turned it on.
Did you turn me on while I was talking? I must have been into my conversation. You were in my back pocket. I didn't even know it. Oh, okay. My money's on this side. He wouldn't pickpocket me, Justin. You'd see, I was just practicing. You guys in 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
Verse 30?
Yes.
Okay, this came up yesterday, okay? I think it was Sharon. Yeah. Who's our wisdom?
Jesus
is the wisdom of God. We're going to look at it, okay? Now, when you find scriptures like this in your Bible, oh my goodness. Don't like just frame them and put them on your wall. Frame them and put them in your heart. Okay? Like, oh my goodness. This is amazing. Well, let's just read. Let's just read. The Word of God's amazing. I'm not gonna preach because there's something we gotta get to. I know you don't believe that until I do it anymore. But that's okay. I understand that. I can handle that. I don't see that as judgment. I've given you the right to think that way. I understand that. But I'm purposing now just to read. But I want you to hear this whole chapter in context. So let's just read. You ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a lot of scripture, but we're just gonna read. So it's okay. Be just like if you're at home, just in the Word. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. That's secure. And Sothenes and our brother. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is so cool. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, there's so much there that's hard not to preach. Who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions. Some Bibles say schisms, probably. No divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. That's a big deal. You might not totally see eye to eye on everything scripturally, doctrinally in our lives, but I'll tell you what, we can see our identity, the purpose of Christ coming, the reason he sent his son. There's some things that we can see that are so foundational that we need to begin to agree on. Look, you can believe it's God's will to heal everybody, and I could believe that it's not. I reverse that because I believe it is, but I just reverse that. And we can still wake up in the same faith, the faith that I'm created in God's image and I'm born again to be restored back to his image and become love and manifest the heart of God to the world around me. I can believe that is the whole reason I'm saved and still might not be sure it's God's will to heal everybody. That doesn't make me different than the person that says it's God's will to heal everybody, because we're all still living for the same reason. Does that make sense? I feel that makes sense to about half the people. Who doesn't that make sense to? You know, okay. I feel that in the room. It actually feels like a bunch of people. What's it mean by the faith? The Bible talks about the faith. The faith. What's the good fight of faith? Is that spiritual warfare? No. It's maintaining the identity you've received through Christ. The faith. The faith is the reason we're born again. Come on. righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. We're His sons and daughters. We're created in His image. He saved us to redeem us back to original value, and we're called to bear witness to His image. We're the body of Christ. Now, we're the children of God. We're the people that represent the heart of God. We're saved to become love. Now watch. Now watch. That's the common Bible knowledge of the faith. And all those things I just preached, some of us have never heard in your whole life going to church until whenever you heard it. Whether it was preaching it here, Harvest Chapel, Neck Ministries, whatever. I have people tell me all the time, I feel like I heard the gospel for the first time. And all I'm preaching is the faith. Because we've made the faith all about demonic warfare, all about healing the sick, all about whether tongues is or isn't of God, and all this stuff. We've made all these aspects of the Christian life the thing that's divided us, and we haven't even preached clear why we're Christians. And we build all these camps and all this stuff, and we got 600 churches in York County, and a lot of it's not because they're called. I'm not saying who is and who isn't. It's just obvious that God doesn't need 600 churches in York County. I know people don't like talking about this. That's a touchy one for people. It's obvious. Not every one of those churches can be ordained, called in the will of God. Sometimes they're only raised up because we can't agree. They only start up because we want to do. And then the trap is when you get out in that church, then you project on everybody else through what God's doing with you. Right. See, we should have broke away because I never felt God like that where I used to go to church. That is judgment. That's putting that place down. That's you staring. That's pride. And you're telling me you're having a great move of God. No, your heart's deceived and bound in pride. Because you're just reflecting and pointing back. You think God's moving among you so you can reflect on another church and degrade another church? Man, it's good we left there, brother. I'll tell you, I ain't felt the Holy Ghost like we just had this morning, you know, in the last 6 years over there in that dry bone. That stuff should make us cry. You shouldn't need to start another work to feel the presence of God anyway. He's already in you. I don't go to church to feel the presence of God. Hello? Had a lady do it to me this weekend. She slid right up to me. And if you'd have heard the message I preached, it was beyond my understanding that she slid up to me and said what she said. And then I have to address all that stuff because I love people. And at the risk of hurting or offending or how they hear it, I shared, you just can't even believe the message I shared. And at the end, I went and saw what was going on in the church. And I just laid out what was going on in the church, and everybody went. And one person ran up crying and said, I was one of those five people. I've been spewing poison. I've been this and this, and I have to make things right. And I'm going to pastor. I said, good girl. But another lady came up after all that and said, boy, the next day came right up to me. Boy, that was so anointed. I ain't felt the power of God in this church for years like that. Da, 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 da. And it was a projection on leadership. She was making sure I knew that, you know, she's saying the leadership's not where they should be, and they're this and they're that, and she's going to church. No wonder she hasn't been feeling the presence of God. The only reason she felt the presence of God was because the topic I was talking about, God was speaking to her, but she was hearing the sermon for them. And then I have to deal with that stuff because I love people. I don't mean deal with it in a bad way. In other words, I address it then because God gives me wisdom. And all of a sudden you have to tell somebody, well, actually, honey, the reason you felt the presence of God, because of what you just said, God was actually speaking to you, not your leadership. And you're too busy hearing the message for your leadership because you have unresolved issues. And God's speaking to your own heart and you can't hear because you're hearing for them, not you. And every time you come to church, you're hearing for your leadership. You know, you can go to church and listen to the sermon for your spouse. Or you can go listen for yourself and be a better spouse. Oops. Was that recorded? Good. Get the CD, baby. Pass that one around the world. That was a word from the Lord. Come on. You can hear the sermon for others. You can be sitting there and God could be speaking right to some in your life and you got an unresolved issue or a belief that's less than edifying and you're thinking, boy, I hope Fred's listening right now. I hope he's over there and you're looking over and you're trying to get your eyes on Fred or Bill or Bob or George to see if they're, how they're responding because you're hearing the sermon for them. That means you're carrying judgments. If you're not carrying judgments, but you have an awareness that those things are prevalent in someone's life, because I'm a pastor, so I'm involved in a lot of people's lives. So when I hear a certain sermon, I can't help sometimes but to hear that word speaking directly to certain people. And in my heart, there's a way you would respond if that would happen. God, so thank you for loving us to speak these things. You know the people in my heart right now. God, and I just thank you. And the only reason I'm thinking that is because of the conversations. You understand. Yeah, you're so good. Thanks, I can intercede. That word going right in and blessing them and bringing life because you love them so much. And all of a sudden, it's a healthy, valued thing. I have to, how can you imagine how, if I wasn't clear in my conscience, my motive pure, how could I even stand up? How could Pastor Don stand up and preach in his home congregation when he's aware of so much? If your heart's not pure, if you're not walking in love, you'll just project. You'll use the pulpit to try to resolve issues. And that's actually sin. Like if you ever get a chance, I don't know why I'm on this right now, but if you get a chance to do a little Bible study or speak somewhere, don't try to speak into the people because of what you're aware of. Just preach Jesus and it'll all work out. Because it's projection. Get what I'm saying? Now, I can't help. Okay, say Dean comes to me this week and Justin comes to me and John comes to me and I talk to them through the week and they bare their heart. And some, one just talks about a conscience issue. One just talks about maybe a marital issue. And one just talks about just, you know, a couple other things. Now, I got all that this week in interaction with people. Now I'm preaching and they're all in the congregation. It's inevitable that something I'm preaching is going to directly connect to the very conversation. But the key is that I'm not even thinking that. And my heart's before God. And usually he totally blinds me from that so I'm not distracted. Because if I was anywhere not sincere in it and I'm preaching and I'm looking at Dean and I see Dean's face and now I'm preaching it, then my mind's going to reel because I'm going to think, wow, am I just preaching that just because Dean just talked about that and now I'm, you know, da-da-da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not clean then. It could hurt Dean. Dean could think, oh my God, now he's exposing everyone. Yeah, he's talking. I know who he's talking to. Because you know what I mean? Because just say I left him in faith and we weren't in total. Maybe he just said, well, look, I'll pray about it, Dan. I don't know. I just don't know how I feel in this. And now on Sunday, I can't be handcuffed to preach the gospel. But the key is I release all men to him. My heart's pure. I'm not even thinking about where everybody is. I just want to do what you want to do, God. Say what you want to say. And I find that I preach and say stuff. And then people come and say, were you talking to me? Because, man, I just talked to you 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been here. And I just felt like, did you see me out there? Were you trying to... And they'll feel hurt, or they'll feel this or that. And I can sincerely look them in the eyes and go, oh, my gosh, I wasn't even thinking about that. I didn't even realize. Sometimes I didn't even see a person's face. I remember one time I was doing that, and the lady was sitting right, like, right here. And it was at the end of the service, I realized she was sitting there. And I was like, phew. And I went to her because I thought of it at the end and made sure she was okay. I would have never been able to preach what I preached if I'd have saw her face first. That's how serious that is to my heart to not do that. That God actually made it like she wasn't there. Because he still needed to say what he wanted to say. But if I'd have saw her there, I would have felt handcuffed. Isn't that cool? God will do neat stuff when you're not trying to do a certain thing in that sense, like set things straight. Or I got a vision one night. I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't dream because I'm not an old man. I woke up and he wakes me up. I woke up and I got a vision of a lady, and I saw her face, and I saw exactly what she's going through in the depression and the different things. And I saw what God wanted to do and what he was saying to her. And I went to church. I was so excited because I knew it was God. And I was like thinking, oh man, we're going to start the service with a blast. I'm just going to call this lady out into the aisle, speak this stuff, prophesy. God's going to just shake her and rock her and whack her. And everybody will be like on page, and then we'll just preach the gospel. Well, I get up to open up to preach, and I'm just pouring out my heart and preaching and preaching and preaching. The lady is sitting right there, the second row. I walked past her walking up the aisle. I walked past her 20 times. I'm at the very end of the service, and I didn't know where God was taking it. And I'm like, and I said, you know, I said right now, and I went, oh my goodness. And I started to cry. I said, have you been sitting there the whole service? And she went, yeah. I saw you in a vision last night. God woke me up and showed me. And I was so excited when I came to church because I wanted to kick off the service with a blast. And I wanted to find you and call you right out. I never saw you the whole time because there's something God wants to do right now, because I had already preached the word. See, why am I saying this stuff? How's this helpful for the school? You're surrendered to him. You have no need to do or be anything to anybody but what he's saying and doing. You're surrendered. You're yielded. I had zeal in my heart. It wasn't wrong to have that zeal. It wasn't wrong to feel that way. But in my heart, I don't ever want to miss God or project or be presumptuous. In my heart, I'm in relationship and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, keep me from that place. So what's he do? Totally erases the lady. And I never see her the whole time. And then I shared what I saw. She's bawling uncontrollably. She stepped out. Bam, God took that thing off of her. And then it just went into a whole bunch of stuff. And it was just so sweet. But if I'd have did it in my zeal, it's kind of like David. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. And you know what God said to him, if you read it in Samuel? He said, no, it's not for you to build. But did you know, he said, but it's good that you have the desire. It's good you have the desire, David. But it's not for you to build. It's for Solomon. You get the stuff prepared for your son. But he affirmed his desire. Hey, it's cool that you have the desire. I'm glad you want to do that for me. But that's not the highest best, and it's not going to be through you. But man, it's cool you have the desire. It's almost like, Dan, it's cool you have the desire and you're zealous and you want to pull her out and this and that. But you know what? I have a much better timing, so how sweet is that? Come on. Isn't that relationship, though? You say, no, that's just straight gifting God. No, there's relationship in that. There's relationship in that. Do you hear relationship in that? Yeah, I do. Okay, I said I wasn't going to preach. So you guys that knew I couldn't go the whole way through there, you were right. You were right. I plead with you, brother. See, it just doesn't feel that great just to be right. That didn't do anything to be right, did it? It's being righteous that'll change your life, not being right. Being right doesn't mean a thing. So when you're right, you make somebody wrong. It's being righteous. Righteous makes nobody wrong. There's a big difference between the two. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. See, it was just too good to pass up. I had to speak on that. That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So if every one of us have the same mind to become love, then love will rule among us. And if there's issues that are self-centered, offended, oriented, if there's great injustice among us, if love is our foundation and we're rooted and grounded in love, we'll deal with or handle everything or flow through everything with love. There'll be no division among us. We'll understand the heart of God through the whole thing. We'll understand certain disciplines, certain ways we correct one another, certain ways we do things. Why? Because we all understand why we're in this thing. And there's no self-serving, self-centered desire. We're one. We're the body of Christ, and we're seeing through love. It's not, well, I don't feel, well, I don't think that's fair. Well, I think you should change your mind. Well, I think, well, how come? Well, Sister Sally didn't get it. And so a lot of times all that is self-preference and stuff apart from truth, apart from love. Sometimes somebody did something and the person they did it against, you like that person or are close to that person. So the person that did it against them, you take personal interest in that. And all of a sudden you take it a little more to heart than you would the normal circumstance because of who they did it to. And now you're responding and then you don't realize that that has an edge to it because of your motive. You see, this stuff's important. The more we be rooted and grounded in love and come from the same mind, joined together and fitly, perfectly together like that, the more we'll respond from that steady place of love. Isn't that how God has to function? Come on, He is love. It's not what He does. So this is just important. Together, same mind, same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, that those of how do you say that? Chloe. Oh, Chloe's house. That there are contentions among you. Where? No way. Now I say this, each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am Cephas, I am Christ. See how we got 600 churches? Is Christ divided? No, I'm not naming how many and which ones are and aren't. That's not for you and me to decide. It's just obvious in the big picture that something happened. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except it doesn't mean that He doesn't see the value of baptism. It's because of the way people handled baptism. And He's glad He didn't baptize a whole bunch of people because He'd had just a big camp of Paulimites and they'd all thought they were more baptized than the people that Apollos baptized. They'd have thought they were maybe more sanctified, or they might have got at a lunch table and said, who baptized you? Oh, well, Paul baptized me. That's what people do. And that's what Paul's addressing. Come on, that's twisted. Can you hear how twisted that is? But isn't it amazing that sometimes that stuff matters and seems that way and you can find yourself projecting on it? It's just, you know, you never fasted 40 days? Well, I fasted 40 days. You ought to fast 40 days. That kind of conversation needs to stop in the church. If you understand love, you'll never talk like that, ever. That's why we're talking about love. Well, I fasted 21 days. Yeah, I went 24 once, but then I came off. And then the fourth person listening and acting like they weren't even caring because they're reading a book says, yeah, man, I'll never forget when I went on that 45-dayer, man. And it just goes on and on. You got to be careful. I was fasting once. And the Lord said, if you fast past today, it's for nothing. I was so locked in. I didn't even feel like I was fasting. I was so psychologically locked in. I was so ready. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't weak. I wasn't nothing. I don't get a whole lot of that anyway because I fasted a bunch over the years. But I was like, I was going to Never Never Land. I was going to reach a point I had never reached. I was going out there, right? Because for years, February, the month of February, I would just shut down and fast as long as I felt like it with no cutoff point. If it was the whole month, great. But I didn't have any, but I would just go for it. But this time, so I had that in my background. And I thought, I'm going for it. And on the point that I had never been, on that day, I'm in my bathroom. And that's what the Lord said out of the blue to me. If you go past today, it's for nothing. And I was like, what? But why? What? And He said, because you've lost sight of what you're doing. He said, and it'll be for nothing. And I said, but Lord, He said, the fact that you would but Lord. That's what He said. Eyeballed. He said, the fact that you would but Lord shows exactly where you are, Dan. And I was so done by then. There wasn't a but. I still don't have a but in me from to that day because it blew all the butts out of me. But here's what He showed me. I was bawling so hard in the bathroom. I ran down and diluted tomato juice and came off the fast instantly. Immediately, just to obey, I was so convicted. And then I started bawling. I walked back up the bathroom, closed the door, and I'm bawling like a baby. And I'm just sitting there because I know He's going to come wrap His arm around me and father me. Because I was bawling. Because He said, the fact that you would butt me, I was like... That's what I did. You have no idea. I was done, man. And then he come and he's like, now look, honey. Honey, come here. Look, I love you. I love you, but you don't see this. And he's cuddling me. I was right on his lap. He said, if I don't bring these things to your attention, they're so subtle. He said, if it's about an amount of days you're fasting, then you open your heart to pride and falling into pride, and you're hearing that somebody else fasted this, and you might not even say it, but you might think in your mind, wow, well, I fasted. He said, when those things matter, you've lost sight of who you are and what you're doing and why. And he wouldn't have me do that. Now, why is he coming? Why is he coming and intervening and saving me like that? He loves me, but watch this. I totally know that and receive that. And I have talked to him so much about fathering me and not letting me get off track. And the ability of me to go into darkness and weakness on my own is obvious and evident to you. And it would be daily if you weren't the grace in my life. Come and father me. Don't let me get off track. I talk to him like this. Kick me in the butt if you have to, because I know you love me. But don't let me get off the straight and narrow. I talk to him like that. He can correct me. He's the Father, and He loves me. He's not saying, you dummy. He's not coming in and saying, what are you doing? Didn't I tell you not to do that? Oh, you make me so mad. Because we've been touched that way in correction all our lives. We're afraid to just give Him total access to our lives and trust that He's a Father. He's a good God. He has saved me in those kind of situations a whole bunch of times, where if he wouldn't have spoke, I would have been deceived and I'd have a resume of deception. Wow. There's people that do those long fasts and then they get caught in those things and it takes them in weird places, and ministries might even fall because of it. Because of where it ends up leading, the pride and what it goes from this to this, and the way the stone skips and ripples, and now you got more. And you know how things work. Why does that stuff happen? I'm convinced in my heart that the more we get alone with Him and give ourselves to Him and let Him father us and ask Him to father us and give Him total access to our life. My life is not my own. I'm on the earth for your glory. I'm on the earth for your image. I'm not in works. I'm in you. Your grace is able to take me where you desire. If I'm in one bit in the flesh, one bit off track, one bit in the wisdom of man, I thank you. You'll father me in this thing and reveal the truth to me in every circumstance and situation. I talk like that. I pray like that. It's very important to share that with you if we're talking about revelation and knowing Him. And you see what I mean? Very important to ask Him to father you. Thank you, you're my Father. Every time you call Him your Father, what are you saying? I'm your child. Yeah. Father means come forth from. Every time I call Him Father, I'm saying, I came forth from you. Your DNA's in me. I look just like you. I can see me in you, or is it you in me? You know, people say, you look just like your dad. Yeah. See, it doesn't even matter how much you say, I don't look like my dad. And you weigh your life introspectively and negatively. He's your dad. You ought to look deeper. You look just like your dad. You can't change that. So why not walk in it? You get it? Come on. I know I feel a little flaky right now. I don't know how I look or act to you. I hope I'm making sense, but I sure feel like he's my dad. I don't know about you, but I am so glad I didn't finish that fast. You know, if you're really spiritual, you walk in one. No, that's funny. That's funny. He said, if I was really spiritual, I'd have picked a longer month. February. That was too funny. No, it's actually the February thing. That's so cool. Man. The February thing is a timing thing for my life and schedule. Because, you know, actually there's a sacrifice when you do long fasts when you're traveling and certain things and different. And there was just a reason it was February. So, that is so good. That's too good. What made you even think that, brother? Would you stretch your hands? We're going to pray. No, that was funny. I like that. He said that's so funny. That was... I'm thinking, yeah, but really, really, think if he wouldn't intervened, I might still be fasting and think I'm God himself. I might still be on the fast, walking high above you. Oh, hi, Brian. Yell a little louder. I can't hear you. Come up hither. If he wouldn't have adjusted me, who knows what might have happened. I might have swelled up and popped. Okay. Come on, everybody stop. Help me stop. Because I am already in trouble. I've been in trouble. He's thanking God he baptized none of them because of the way they were acting, not because he didn't see the power and beauty of baptism. Because he saw what was happening. Look, he qualifies it. At least any of you should say that I had baptized in my own name. In other words, I was baptized into Paul or with Paul by Paul. You know? Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Isn't that a powerful phrase? But the manifestation of life, or the demonstration of power, that all it's all inclusive. It's the fruit of your life. It's not the wisdom of words. And watch, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. This means a whole lot. I don't have time to teach this out. It's not really prevalent to where we're to go today, but it's powerful. To those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So to the lost, it's foolish. It's like whatever. I will destroy. Now watch what he's saying. He's talking about a wisdom that's on the earth. He's talking about the mindset of men. It happens to be the way that seems right to a man. Okay? Watch. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Question mark. Where is the scribe? Question mark. Where is the disputer of this age? Question mark. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, that's to make so total sense to us now when he's writing this, because the wisdoms of the world and the world's ways are so no longer our ways. We've been renewed in the spirit of our mind. We've been redeemed. We're seeing through Christ. We're no longer feeling unworthy because the gospel says we're worthy. Wisdom has shifted the way it used to be. It is no more. You say, but I say. You say, but I say. It's all through Matthew in chapter 6. You say, but I say. He came and changed the language. He changed the wisdom. Do you get it? So he's expecting us to see the truth through Christ. Watch this. He made foolish the wisdom of this world. He made it foolish. Yes. Man, you can get alone. Watch this. Oh, gosh. I'm going to just do something here. You can get alone and say, Father, I thank you. It is foolish to fear because you're the Lord God. It is foolish to worry because you are faithful. And if you sent your son to die for me, if you sent your son to raise me from the dead and put life in me, why would I worry if you're the Almighty God? Because it's not about just me anymore. It's about you in me and you through me. And my life is not my own. It is foolish to live in worry and fear. Foolish to live in strife and stress because your love is what I've become. That's the way we're called to pray. We don't pray like that. We haven't even been taught to pray like that. We just pray about trouble and what's wrong and how cruddy we feel and hoping God changes that. And I read something like this and it's meditating in the Word. Meditating means to muse and mutter and repeat and Now, meditate, you can see, is a quiet. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's very aggressive with me. Right now, I feel very aggressive because you know what? It's foolish for me to think the way I used to think. It would be foolish for me, God, to be offended now that love has come. You weren't offended in me. How could I be offended in any man? God, when I didn't know what I was doing, you loved me. People don't know what they're doing or they wouldn't do what they do. I love the world around me. God, I see the value of people. Because you showed me the value of my life. That's prayer. You walk in your bedroom and you just pray like that. And you just speak that. And it sounds like you're the only one talking, Angelo. But I'll tell you what's happening inside of you. It's becoming alive. Grace is touching it. Holy Spirit's making it your reality. And somewhere in the process, your eyes getting converted. And the way you see is changing. And you cannot come out of the bedroom the same. You might not feel any different. You might not know you changed. You might not. But you'll start seeing things different, responding different. You'll get thrown into a fire. But because you pursued the gospel in truth in the secret place, when the fire rises, the gospel's there to defend you. If you wait for the fire and then try to run to the gospel, you're late. And that's why we lose so many battles. Okay? Forgive my excitement. I feel excited about this. This is powerful. Where has not God, it's a question. Has God not God made foolish the wisdom of this world when he sent his son and showed us what truth really looks like? He came to his own and his own received him. The world was created through him and the world knew him not. Why? Because of perversion, the perversion of the fall. Man's eye and perspective got totally contorted, twisted, and perverted. And it turned inward, self-centered, and deceived. Oh, the gospel, 180, totally changed. Has he not? Has he not made foolish the wisdom that you and I lived by? Yeah. Right? How does that become real to you? By knowing it in your head and reading it in your Bible? Or coming into agreement with it and exchanging it? Out of your heart, you believe. But out of your mouth, you make confession. And all of a sudden, you connect the two in a place of secret prayer. Holy Spirit's there. Faith's there. You're accepting that. You're laying down your rights by saying, wow, all these things, worry and fear, and I don't even reserve the right for this. Natural knowledge has no place in me. The wisdom of God reigns in my life. Holy Spirit, thank you for the revelation of these things. And as you're praying them, grace is making it your reality. Does this make sense? It's such a big deal. And you're going to see how much of a big deal this is. It's just going to get bigger. For since in the wisdom of God, watch this. Oh my goodness. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So through the fall, God leaves this period of time go called the Old Testament, Old Covenant, Law of Sin and Death. There's a whole lot there to see and learn and understand. And in the wisdom of God, we can look and see that through human wisdom, the world couldn't know God. They actually thought everything that happened was God. They had a terrible revelation of God. They were very sin conscious, very self-conscious. Right? Watch. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Humility, right in the face of human pride, takes humility, not false humility. Humility to be born. I love that he calls this the Word of God and asks me to believe it, because it just chops to pieces every other opinion and mindset that would otherwise try to rule my life. It causes me, it almost forces me, if you will, I don't mind talking like this, it almost forces me to call everything else not true and embrace this. It's such a sanctifying thought to me. And the wisdom of man and the pride of man, still in the quest for knowledge, making his mind God and a God unto himself, says, well, men just wrote this. Well, I can't believe everything in that book. All you're saying is, I want to still be in charge. I want the wisdom I live by to still be the wisdom that rules. I'm still a God unto myself. It's powerful. I love that God handed us this and said, it's alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that it wasn't penned by men, but men inspired by Holy Spirit. I believe that. The wisdom of the world says, well, brother, come on. The boss says, don't read that all the time. You'll get too narrow-minded. Remember yesterday?
What a revelation he had.
I'm really concerned for you, Dan. All you ever read is the Bible. You're going to be so narrow-minded.
Yeah.
My eyes single?
Light. Light.
It doesn't say if your eyes single, your body's flooded with light, unless, of course, you're faced with many issues and challenges. If your eyes single, you're flooded with light because you'll see all your issues and challenges through that light, and that light is truth. And it's never about you. It's never about just you. It's about manifesting Christ in every situation. Even when it involves family, loved ones, it's always about the integrity of who he is in the face of every situation. Even when it feels like you lose, your response is a sign of integrity and trust to God and worthiness to God and all that stuff. Even when you lose, even when it feels like you lose, the bottom line, a Christian can't ever lose. Oh, there might be some temporal, physical things that slip by early. People slip away on us. We tend to lose some battles in the natural. I understand. But if you really understand the big picture and the window of this little wisp and vapor of a life that we have, you'll realize you can't lose when you're in Christ Jesus. And you'll thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that's preserved your loved one for eternity. And that'll be bigger. That'll start growing bigger than the fact that they left early. Come on. Or you put all your marbles down now, and the fact that they left early is devastating you, and now you're unproductive because you're grieved beyond measure, and you can't even function because of the natural reality of this, and even where was God and how could I ever trust again? And you put all your marbles on this natural little window called life, when this little window is a privilege to reveal the integrity of your love for him and who he really is and why. Come on, that'll help you if you'll grab that. I share a testimony of Thurman Scrivener all the time. I don't know who knows who he is. Texas. I'm not sure why people don't know more about him. I sat and watched him. He's Thurman Scrivener. He stood this far from me in a service. I sat for 3 hours. He talked about faith and knowing God. And I sat there like this. And I thought it was 15 minutes. I lost track of time. Story after story and things, and he had all these pictures of his granddaughter. She didn't even look like a human being. He had all these pictures of his granddaughter. It didn't even look like a human being on life support and stuff. It looked like ground meat. Head on collision, 70 mile an hour, poof, no brakes. And all the shards and metal and all that stuff just shoof, severed her brain. Brain dead, and you couldn't tell. Honestly, guys, you couldn't tell it was a little girl or a person, let alone a little girl. And God restored her with no scars.
Wow. Yeah.
No brain damage, not blind. But in the process, his wife and daughter in that accident, that was his granddaughter, his wife and daughter got dismembered and instantly killed in that car wreck. Now, if you don't have an integrity and understanding toward who God is in the midst of a calamity like that, you're in no position to see the miraculous like that through your granddaughter. But because of the extreme integrity in the midst of a horrendous calamity like that, there's a power that we, most of us, have yet to see. Because he stood there and chuckled when they unplugged life support because he told them she's not going to die. And they said, you need to face reality. She has to die. And he said, you probably all go to church, don't you? And they all admitted to going to church, the medical staff. He said, well, that's a shame because you don't believe this book. So pull the plug. And when they pulled it, she breathed and coughed. And they said, oh my God, I don't believe this. And all their medical heads, the wisdom. Oh my God, oh my God. He said, isn't that amazing? Now God's moving right in front of you and you still don't believe. He said, I'm taking her out of your care. And he signed her out of the hospital, brain, severed brainstem, blind, and a vegetable. But now she's breathing coughing. He took her home. Signed her out of the hospital and took her home. Said, she's no longer under your care. See, that kind of stuff we don't understand. But if he sees that, then the fruit will be there to be seen. Took her home and sat her up in bed. Called her by name. You will sit up. You have to sit up because of the kingdom of God. You must sit up. And she'd fall back on the bed like a dummy, like a fake. He'd just sit her back up. And the third time she just sat. This is the stuff you can't barely even tell. The only reason he can tell it is because of the results. He stands her out of bed. I'm nowhere near this. If it's another person's life and a child. But he understood he was in authority. And he wasn't doing it to try to prove the gospel. He was doing it because he believes the gospel. He took her out of bed and stood her. When I heard his testimony before I went to see him, I pulled the car off the road and cried and really felt like I wasn't saved. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that in a condemning way. It was like, God, I want you so much. It wasn't that bad thing. Like, I'm not even born again. I just felt like I was so far from where I'm called that it made me like God reach. He took her and stood her and commanded her to stand. You have to stand because Jesus is Lord. And he let her go and didn't catch her. And she just poof, took her back up and stood her. And like the third time or so, she's just standing there. And he kept on. And then she began to talk and everything. And the last thing was her eyes opened. There was a feed tube she was on for 10 months. And he went in the bedroom and said, why? Lord, I need you to father me on this. Why isn't she off that thing yet? I've seen you do all these miracles and take all these things away in the face of all these doctors and glorify your name and show your great love for us. Why? What am I missing? Because it says, whatever I ask believing, it shall be done. What am I missing in my belief system on this? Where am I not seeing clear? Why isn't that thing working? And why aren't we off this feed tube in 10 months? Because that scripture doesn't take 10 months for you to manifest. It's with me. It's something I'm not seeing. And the Lord said, well, Thurman, you've believed everything I've said up to now until that. And you believe when he said, if you feed her, she'll die. You took it to heart and you suffered her for 10 months on the feed tube. Wow. That's what he heard in the bedroom. And he went, duh. I didn't believe one thing they said this whole time. But when they said that, I took it to heart. And I'm waiting for her to be healed. Duh. He ran out and he said, honey, I got good news. She's like 3.5, 4 years old. I have such good news. See, I'm not telling you to ever do this. He saw this. He said, he had Jell-O and juice. And he sits it on the table. He said, I have such good news. Today you're going to get to eat. Oh, forgive Grandpa. He's been suffering you for 10 months. He's all excited because I believed what they said and not what God said. Oh my goodness, it's a good day. She said, but Grandpa, he said, you can eat it, honey. It's okay. Just eat it. She here, I'll go get you some more. She ate. She was eating 2-3 weeks. 2 weeks went by. It was 2 weeks. She had to go back for her regular exam. Quarterly, whatever. And the doctor said, oh my goodness, whatever that flap is that covers your esophagus and your windpipe, it's working. Oh my goodness, it's working. She can eat now. She's restored. We can get her off the feed tube. She can eat now. You can feed her solid foods. It's totally working. He said, doctor, I've been feeding her solid food for 2 weeks. He said, what? You're crazy. You could have killed her. He said, the only thing that makes me crazy is I took to heart your medical knowledge and stuffed the knowledge of God. And I suffered her for 10 months. I suffered her because I believed and took to heart what you said would happen in the natural. And I stopped the power of God. You have to hear that in a right ear, where you don't take your child to see if it works and find faith. That's how you'll kill somebody. But he saw that. He grew in a place where let me tell you the whole reason I told you that story. When he was at church guest ministering. So just imagine right here, he's the guest minister. A police officer came in the side door. This is an amazing story. It made me cry and cry and cry. And here's what I said. God, you have to work that in me. That is so integral. I want that in my life. I want that kind of eternal vision. And God, what an honor to meet a man that could live that way. And I see it so possible. It would be Jesus. And I've prayed about it. Honestly believe I'm in that place right now. Police officer came to the door, summoned the pastor. He's up preaching. Guest minister. Pastor stops everything and calls him. He comes over. Yes, sir. Is everything okay? Are you so-and-so? Yes, I am. Do you know so-and-so? Well, that's my wife and daughter. Is everything okay? Well, there's been a very, very terrible violent accident. And your wife and your daughter are deceased. In fact, they were dismembered and it was instant and they never knew what happened. And he said, what about my granddaughter? She's in Cook's Medical Center. They don't think she'll live very long. He said, officer, thank you for doing the difficult thing you do, telling people, families, thank you for coming here, bringing me this news and doing what you needed to do. He ran up on the platform. This is amazing. He said, worship team, could you come forward, please? He said, pianist, I need you to something about Jesus' blood. People, I need you to stand to your feet with me. He said he had no ability to cry. None. Now, that's not to make us feel bad if we would cry. It's to show you how consumed you can be with an eternal revelation that you cannot lose. That doesn't mean he never missed his wife. That doesn't mean he never cried on his daughter's birthday when it came around and she wasn't there to give a present. It doesn't mean that at some point he didn't shed a tear. But at the time, here's what he did. This is what he did spontaneously. He didn't go, what? Oh, my God. Ah, like we probably all would have. Here's what he did. I want you to all stand to your feet, congregation, please. This officer just came and told me the news that my wife and my daughter were just in a very violent car accident and they were both deceased. And my granddaughter's now in Cook's Medical Center. What I would love to do, if you could please, let's worship Jesus and honor him for his precious holy blood that has received my wife and my daughter into his presence for all eternity. Could we stand to our feet and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? I worship you for your blood and I thank you for preserving my family forever because of your sacrifice. Not, I thought you loved me. How could you take my wife? How could you let this happen to me? I love my wife and daughter. What are you doing? Ah! God doesn't give us the gifts of life to covet them at the cost of him. Having a child is a gift. Having a spouse is a gift. It's ordained. It's a gift. But believing the blood and eternity is where you live from. Doesn't mean we don't fight to win. But when a tragedy happens, where is our soul in understanding? When you get a phone call that you never, ever thought you'd get or wanted to get, where is your revelation, your faith, and the foundation from which you live? Because that determines how well you'll do and how you'll do, period. This is heavy. You hear how quiet it is? It's not wrong to cry. But it's deceived to be overcome with the wisdom of the world and make it all about you at the cost of who he is and start judging him in the face of the loss. Amen. Instead of upholding him, because nothing's truly lost only for a while. Amen. This brief moment of light affliction, that's what Paul called it. We haven't seen anything Paul went through. We read about it and shudder. He called it a brief moment of light affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory to be revealed when He comes. You feel that? Faith will take you there. If I didn't have that experience with Thurman and that testimony when I got the news my wife was on life support with severe brain damage, I probably would have reacted. I had no ability to react. I was just as peaceful as I am standing here right now. Because I can't see that. I can only see this. I know in my heart we can't even lose. That doesn't mean I'm not going to fight and let her slip away. But I do know in my heart we can't lose. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not about living, dying. It's not about, oh my God, she can't die. It's not about fighting. So I already know we can't lose. But I understand He paid a price to redeem life and restore life and fulfill His will in every way. But death and the fear of death is not my motivation. It's life and the promise of life. Because through Christ, even in the face of death, we can't lose because of His blood. Come on, it's good to talk about this stuff. It's rarely talked about this kind of stuff because these are the wrong understandings and the motives that are in our life for the lack of understanding where the wisdom of the world just eats us to pieces. And we have good hearts and we want to do right and we're seeking God and then tragedy hits. And if we don't see clear, we will mishandle and respond wrongly in a detrimental way. And you can lose years of productivity in your heart, your mind, and your life. You could suffer yourself for years. You could sit under Pam and them. They're singing all these incredible songs. And you're just trying to play the part. But your heart's spinning and your mind's reeling because of your wrong perspective. And you're just suffering through every worship song, challenging God with every word. Well, if you were so amazing, where's my girl? Well, if you were so amazing, where's my husband? Well, if you were so amazing, where's my child? And that will go through your mind over and over if you don't lay this thing out now and let a foundation of faith come. Every trial will touch you wrong. Even just circumstances. Just a furnace blowing in the same week your car going out. All of a sudden, you know, there's enough to just poof, if you don't have a clear view. You can't lose. It's never even about death, guys. Y'all okay? Okay, I felt like I got sidetracked, but I don't think I did. I think that was good. This is very important. Because He's the author and giver of life, and He gave Jesus Christ. And we're privileged to grow in a revelation. Some of us wonder where the power of God is. I think that's a pretty easy question to answer, actually. He said, don't fear and don't worry. It's the first two things we call normal. No wonder we don't manifest the power that we could because we don't have a clue yet who we are through Him. We just put it all on Him. Well, if He's amazing, why doesn't He heal? We're the body of Christ. He gave the earth to the children of men. He wants to reveal His wisdom through us. His intent is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be revealed to the powers and principalities. Ephesians 3. You get it? So we're not waiting on God. We're privileged with the kingdom. He's waiting on us. Very patiently, because He's love. He's not tolerating us. He loves us. But I'll tell you what, there's honestly a whole lot of loss in the midst. In the natural. We need to rejoice. And know we can't lose. That'll actually cause us to grow so much leaps and bounds. Because if we're just still trying to get through the natural loss, and that's still the pain of our heart, how are we ever even going to get to Him? If we don't make this shift of who we are and why. And settle in our heart that you can't lose. It's like on birthdays or holidays or anniversaries and that chair's empty. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but this is what happens. Natural knowledge, the wisdom of the world that He made foolish, rules our life. And for 2 weeks we're nervous and upset because that day's coming. And we already know they're not there because we miss them every day. It's real. And now we know there's going to be family over and everybody's going to be laughing and shouting and they're not going to be there. And they're the one that used to laugh the most or cut this joke and everybody loved. And now their chair's empty. It's real. And now we're just trying to eat and be okay. And then nobody's okay because we're just trying to be okay. And we're even afraid to mention Billy because we don't want to make everybody cry. And we're all trying to ignore it, but we can't because it's prevalent. And that's when all that needs to happen is one person that believes lift up their voice. Listen, guys, we're ready to sit down and eat. Listen, I want you guys to be straight with me and let me talk straight. Billy's chair is empty and we all know why and we're all thinking about it. Let's not be afraid. No, it's okay, Aunt Mila. It's okay. Just hear where I'm going. Let's stop trying to act like it didn't happen when we can't. And let's do something we all need to do. Let's all lift our heart and our hands to the Lord Jesus Christ and thank Him for His precious blood that has Billy preserved forever and ever and ever. And let's thank God for the day He was born, that He was our son, our brother, our nephew, our uncle. And let's praise God and honor God for the life of Billy. Was it way too soon? Absolutely. Do we understand everything about it? Not at all. But we know one thing. God is good and He sent His son to preserve Billy's life forever. God did not take Billy, but He sure did receive him. So let's lift our hands and thank Almighty God for Billy. And then we'll sit down and eat with joy because we know we haven't lost, even though we've lost some time with Billy. We surely haven't lost. That's the wisdom of God. Anything else will sell you short of grace. You all right?
Yes.
Come on, you can hear that. It's crackly clear. And somebody just by faith needs to speak up, or we're just trying to live this thing out. I don't know what we do. We fail to live by faith is what we do. Sometimes we try to stuff natural reality and think that's spiritual. No, you have to face natural reality through spiritual truth. Okay? You all good? Okay. Where's the scribe? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, Greeks after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it stumbles them. To the Greeks, utter foolishness. Right? But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That's funny. The weakness of God, I never even totally understood that. The weakness of God is stronger than men. It's more of a paraphrase, I believe. But watch this. Now, verse 26, this is cool. Men, we're all in. Watch. For you see your calling, brethren. He's not putting this down. He's saying this is amazing. You see your calling that not many are wise according to the flesh. There's not many among you that are mighty and noble men and that are called. He's just called everyday, ordinary people that actually feel like they have more issues and more problems than God could ever even, you know, consider them because of all this stuff. And yet we're all called. And there's no mighty and noble. We don't come in mighty and noble. We didn't come in really high educated and millionaires and prestige and notoriety in the community. And there's not a lot of us that have that testimony. We're just everyday people. But we're here and the Spirit of God's in us, right? But God chose the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And there's actually a war there between pride and humility, that humility always wins. And there's something there we could teach out. I don't have time. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing that which is that is. Sounds like a 180 taking place here. It sounds like God is reverting and changing things back to original, right? That no flesh, why is this? That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him. This is the verse we turn to. I read the whole chapter. I felt it was important. I didn't even know why I was reading the whole chapter. I am so glad I did. I don't know. This isn't selfish, but I don't know if you got anything out of that, but I am so glad I read the chapter. Because I just feel sharper than before right now. I feel a little bit more tweaked. I feel good about it, okay? So watch this. But of Him. See, don't be in a hurry with your Bible, but of Him you are in Christ. Whose will is it that you're in Christ? Whose idea is it? Whose grace made it possible? So it has nothing to do with you. You didn't petition God. You didn't sign a petition. You didn't plea bargain with God. Of Him. Of Him. You didn't go and knock on His door and ask for mercy and say, please receive. Of Him, you were in His heart from the beginning. He predestined Christ before the foundation of the world to be slain because you were there with Him. You were with Him in the beginning.
Oh.
Of who? Of him you're in Christ. So it's God's choice. None of this is our bright idea. That's why it's not presumption. Who became for us wisdom from God. Isn't it amazing? The whole chapter was about the wisdom of the world and about another kind of wisdom. And now he's wrapping it up saying, Christ Jesus is now your wisdom. He's the new source of wisdom, the fresh source. He's always been that. But he's the conversion of your soul, the life of Jesus, who Jesus is. Jesus is now your wisdom. Any other way is not the way. You get it? Now watch. And righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That it is as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Can you make yourself righteous? Can you bring your life back to its original value on your own? Can you set yourself apart from the world and guilt and the past and the things you were guilty of and be truly sanctified apart from the forgiveness and mercy of God? So when you receive these things, you honor him all the more, you esteem him all the more, because you can't even love him unless he first loves you. When you receive these things, it's all a form of receiving his love. When you don't feel righteous and then you don't live righteous or accept righteousness, you're actually failing to receive God's love. No wonder you don't feel a lot of love for him, because you're not seeing the beauty of who he is. When I know that I can't make myself righteous, when I know that I've failed and can't make the things I've done wrong right, can you ever go back and change something you've done? But can the gospel? So who gets the glory? So he who glories, glory who? Gloried in who? In the Lord. So the gospel gives all glory to God and brings great humility to men. But here's the deal. When you read a verse like that in your life, now, we don't have much time, and that's probably good. That's just God blessing me, because I'll just go step in and just watch this. Because I'm an intimate guy. I'm an alone kind of guy. And then I'm a teacher as well. And I take what I live and what I'm alone, teach in principle. But the Lord wants me to model something this morning. I thought I was going to be doing it for about a half hour. Really, I did. I thought, God, I'm going to get lost. I was a little nervous in a sense, but I knew it was God, because I know where that can go. And I thought, well, it'll just be, I guess you want a visual for people and they want to, you know. But here's what I want you to see. Ron said something way long ago. When I try to read and pray, my mind spins, etc. Don't just try to read and pray if that's happening to you apart from the Word. Once you learn this today, you can do this anywhere, anytime, with any section of Scripture. You can open up a psalm and get into about 3 hours of incredible prayer. Just because the psalm is focusing you and inspiring you and making a draw on truth in your spirit. And as you read who God is in the psalm and read who we are, and all of a sudden everything it's saying and meaning, you begin to back to him. And you can read a psalm like Psalm 91 and just come out of your bedroom so assured that he's God, so assured that you're safe, so assured that there's no such thing as fear, so assured that you don't have to watch your back because he does, so assured. Do you know what I'm saying? Because of meditating on the Word, not just reading your Bible for knowledge, but reading your Bible to know him and know who you are in him. Here's what that looks like. So I'll say I'm in my bedroom and I'm reading, but of him you are in Christ. Who became wisdom from God for me? Righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That is, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. I'm going to show you what I do when I'm all alone, what it means to me to meditate in the Scripture, because I feel like God actually for a few weeks has been talking to me about teaching this to the body. It's something I don't teach to the body, and I'm feeling like I'm supposed to. So you guys are getting this first. Because people say all the time, how's that become so real to you? But how do you see? Like, I can tell you believe it. It's not just because I read my Bible. You have to believe, and that means something. That means expressing. That means letting it come out of your heart, getting in agreement, settling that if it's his idea, if it's his wisdom, if it's him that initiated this, it's got to be right. You get what I'm saying? So here's what I do. as I enter in to do this, I'm going to just forget you're here. And that's possible for a moment because there's grace that'll let me do that. Where I'm not just puppeting and giving you example. I'm actually going to, this is going to come out of my heart to God. And don't have much time. So if you need to get up and slip out, if it rolls past 12, you can, if you have to go. And actually, when I'm finished, when this wraps up, you know how I give myself to everybody and I ask questions. So today I have to just kind of roll out of here. So, and I got to take John with me. So you're with me. When I'm ready to roll, what I'm saying is I'm not going to take a whole lot of time at the end just to talk about stuff and questions. I normally do. I've been leaving 1:30. You know, I'm here a long time after school. But today I really need to get home and catch up on some things. I got a snowball of phone calls and things, and I'm trying to work this new schedule with the school. And just because all morning when I'm home and in town, I usually make phone calls and I'm here. And when I go home, I usually have 6 or 8 more on top of the ones that I'm not making. And I'm not sure how that's looking. So, well, I know how it's looking. I'm not sure how that's going to look. I already know how it's looking. But I'm going to cut out of here as soon as we can, okay? So watch this. I'm in my bedroom. Let no flesh glory in His presence, but of Him. God, it is so Your idea. It's so Your heart to save me. I wasn't even thinking of You. I didn't even know I was lost. I didn't even understand any of this. You knew all the time. It's Your idea. You sent Christ for me while I was yet a sinner. It's Your idea that I'm saved. It's Your will that I'm born again. It's Your will that Your Spirit lives inside of me. Thank You for this amazing love. Thank You. Why wouldn't I want Almighty God on the inside of me? My life apart from You was nothing. My heart was wretched. I was frustrated. I was hurting everybody I said I loved because I didn't understand. Thank You for helping me see. Thank You for saving me through Your Son. You've become wisdom for me, Jesus. Your life, the way You handled things, the way You treated men, the way You continued to just heal no matter what, the way You didn't change Your tune. You never let men determine who You were, because who You are determines who men are. God, I thank You that You're the one that changes my life. My eyes are on You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You're the one that reveals Jesus to me. You reveal the message of His life. You make it my reality. You wouldn't be in my life if You didn't want to transform me into Christ. You wouldn't be in my life if You didn't want me to follow Him profusely. You're in me and You're the hope of the glory of God. I surrender to You and I yield to You and I reveal that I don't want my own wisdom. I want Your wisdom. Let the life of Jesus be clear to me. Let me see every aspect of it that You desire. I want to see the heart of God and the motive of God and understand love through Jesus' life. Because any other way I'm thinking isn't the way. And God, here I am and I surrender myself to You. And I just give myself to You and I yield myself to You. And I just thank You. I'm Your son and I honor You. I have never seen such wisdom. I have never known such love. There is no one that could ever touch my heart like You touch me. I'm here righteous right now. You're not just wise and it's not just wisdom. I've been made right. I'm right with You. You'll never see me for sin. You'll never see me for fault. You'll never see me for failure. You'll only see me for what I'm called to and what You've predestined me to, what You made me to be from the beginning. God, I'm Yours and You're mine. I'm home. Thanks for receiving me. I am so thankful, Lord God, for the redemption of this gospel. I am in the world, but I am so not of it. You have separated me out. I am not afraid. Never again will my heart fear. You're my helper. You're the one that loves me. You're faithful. There's no turning. There's no shadow in You. I know who You are. You don't keep me guessing. You don't make me wandering. I know who You are. The truth about You is established in my heart, and fear has been driven out. Worry is a thing of the past. I've been made brand new. Holy Spirit, I thank You for the revelation. I thank You for making these things real to me. I am redeemed. It's as if I've never touched sin. It's as if I never lived one day of natural life. I am in the realm of the Spirit. I'm seated with you in heavenly places. You are surely my King. I am in the world. I'm not of the world. I'm not of selfishness and offense. I'm not of self-centered desire. You are making me a man of love. I say yes to you. I am truly a man of God by your grace, by your good pleasure. You are working an amazing thing in me. I like what you're doing. I like who I am. I like who I am in you. Keep moving in me. Keep forming me and molding me. And when I leave this room today and I look through this eye, I thank you. It's yours. I thank you. I see with the vision of God. Oh, I appreciate the 2010 vision that I have. But more than that, God, I thank you for the vision of God. I just thank you right now for loving me. And I just thank you. I am born again. I'll never die. I'll never be alone. I'll never be afraid. You have come. And you never, ever, ever will go away. That's what meditating on the scripture looks like. You get it? That's just an example. You read one verse, your mind, Ron, if you start doing this, no way will be distracted. No way. Wow. Okay, I was going to give you one more example in Psalms, but I'm not. I'm going to leave you with that. That's meditating in the scripture. Watch this. It's one thing to read your Bible and see what it says. It's another thing by faith to turn your heart up and out of your heart. With your mouth make confession unto salvation and say yes to every yes of God. Holy Spirit meets you there. You have to understand that I'm saved 15 years. Don't you think, well, yeah, okay, so I got a long way to go. I got to be saved. I got to do blah, 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 blah. I've been doing that from the beginning. I don't even have to open my Bible to do that anymore. I can be driving in my truck and a scripture will come. God's speaking to me. A scripture will come. And I'll just start meditating on it and declaring what it means and thanking God it's true. Do you see? I'm not asking for peace. I'm thanking Him. I have it. I'm not asking Him to not make me not afraid. I'm thanking Him and bold enough to say, because the righteous are bold as a lion. It's not a false confession. It's not a hope-so thing. I thank you that never again will I be subdued by fear. I thank you that never again will I just... Why? Because truth has come and it's made me free. I'm not waiting for the day I don't feel afraid. That day has come and fear is driven out of my life by the gospel because wisdom has changed. And the only reason I was afraid is because of the wisdom I possessed. Wisdom has changed. Do you get it? You don't have to leave that place and feel like you're different. Because I can tell you I've never left that place aware of a change. I have never walked out of a place except for the presence of God that I'll feel, the peace of God or He'll follow me. But I've never walked out like knowing I'm different. I just believe I am because I believe that. And when I get the opportunity in life to manifest whether I'm different or not, I'm different. Do you get it? When I first got saved, I didn't even know I was changing. And people all around my life were saying, man, what's going on with you? Man, what's up with you? And I didn't even really know what they were talking about, except I was in love. I knew I had this secret thing going on. This new lover in my life. Kimmy, there's another lover. She actually knew it and was freaked out and mad at it for a while, but because she was hurt. I never left my bedroom knowing I was changing. Like a child, I was believing this is all true. And I was saying, yay. And it was restoring me back to a place of simple innocence where everything around me was lowered and everything that was going on in me was raised. And then you live by faith and not by sight. Nothing outside my door changed. Nothing at work changed. Nothing changed on the way. There wasn't even a great change in the city I live in or even the relationships I had. There was a change in my eye. What I used to call wisdom wasn't wisdom anymore. What I found in him became my wisdom. You meditate that out. You enter in. Right there, that track I was on, I just did that by grace and pulled out by grace. I could have been on that track. Who knows? Where does that end? Where does that even lead you?
Oh, you get it?
So go on a journey. Start meditating. Don't just read your Bible to feel Christian and feel like you're doing what you should. Meditate on the Word. Don't be in a hurry. Read one or two things that are starting to speak to you and camp there till it becomes yours. He had me in Philippians chapter 2 for 13 weeks and told me don't read anywhere else. Years and years ago. Philippians 2 for 13 weeks. Why? He was saying, I don't want you to know that. I want you to become that. And when you become that, I'll let you read somewhere else so that everything you read will be seen through that. And then you won't be a Bible egghead. You'll be a revelation of Christ.
Did you get it?
13 weeks in one chapter. And watch this. I still can't quote the chapter because I didn't read it to memorize it. I read it to become it. Father, I thank you for your great grace. I thank you. I'm on a batting 1,000 in getting late and ending late every day. And I'm trying to work on that. And I'm asking you to bless us. And Father, just thank you for the Word. Thank you. It's true. Thank you. Your wisdom rules. Put your hand on your heart. Would you do that? Just say, thank you, Father, your wisdom rules in my life. Just say that out of your heart. Your wisdom rules in my life. And just say, Holy Spirit, just thank you for making the wisdom of God so real to me through the life of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is good. See, there's nothing different about your life, Jesus, and mine. Because you're in me, and I'm in you. You're the firstborn among many. I'm following you. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God.